I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. It's our Thursday international briefing, and we'll tell you about a group battling police corruption in Nigeria that recently won major recognition for its work. And we'll tell you the very interesting story of a South African soccer star who's traveling the world to drum up interest in next year's World Cup, the first to be held on the African continent. He has his own interesting story to tell, which we'll share with you. That's a bit later in the program. But first, we begin here in Washington, D.C., where President Obama met yesterday with Pakistani President Asif Ali Zardari and Afghan President Hamid Karzai. The meeting took place amid rising concerns of the Taliban's expanding power in the region, particularly in Pakistan, where over the last few weeks, Taliban fighters have reached close to the capital city of Islamabad. Joining us to talk more about all this is Rick Barton of the Center for Strategic and International Studies. He's the co-director of the center's post-conflict reconstruction project. He's here with me in the D.C. studio. Rick, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Great to be here.
First of all, people keep describing this meeting as historic. Why do they say that?
I'm not sure how historic it is. Both of these presidents who are visiting here are in somewhat weakened states in their own countries right now. So it's good that they're here. They're getting along better than Musharraf got along with Karzai, so that's also helpful.
Is it the trilateral aspect, the fact that you have an American president, the Afghan president, and the Pakistani president? Is that it? Or
I think somewhat, but President Bush did have two prior presidents at the White House for dinner a while ago, so I'm not sure that it's that historic. But they're having substantive talks, and they're trying to find a common vision for what's going on in the region.
What's the goal? Is there a specific goal?
I think there is a goal. I think the toughest missing piece so far has been a common vision of what to do in the region. And the United States has really adhered to the terrorist argument that we were attacked from this part of the world, and that's why we need to address it. That argument has never really taken hold in Pakistan. And in Afghanistan, they're really kind of eager to move on with their lives and get beyond the war. So there needed to be a common vision, and I think that some of that came out yesterday, that the three presidents agreed that basically the safety of our people, the Pakistani people, the Afghan people, and the American people is something that we share.
Did they, in fact, share this vision? I mean, there's been this ongoing concern, particularly in Congress, that Pakistan really is not fully committed to containing the Taliban.
Pakistan has been slow to accept the reality of the many threats that exist in the country. There are elements of denial that have been part of the Pakistani political process. And what they've been saying typically is, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the United States causing all of this problems over in Afghanistan. And we've got a lot of big things to do. And why do we have to worry about Afghanistan the whole time? That is the core challenge in Pakistan. And this visit helps. But it really only helps if Pakistan's president sees it, and its people see this challenge of violent extremism within their country as their own existential threat. That's starting to happen partially as a result of these recent Taliban attacks. So the good news in the Taliban advances has been that there's been a more of a growing consensus in Pakistan that this is the number one problem.
And you mentioned that the Pakistani President Zardari has a political problem and the perceptions of the U.S., but doesn't President Obama also have a political problem in Americans' perceptions of Pakistan? I mean, lawmakers in Congress on both sides of the aisle have questioned the billions of dollars in aid that the U.S. has already sent to Pakistan, whether that's actually paid off in greater security. Does President Obama have a problem in persuading Americans to think more about Pakistan, be more present in the region in whatever form? And we're going to talk more about what form that might take.
Yeah, I think President Obama does have a challenge because he's got a couple of legacy wars, but this one in particular is not going well, and it hasn't been the center of attention. And now the U.S. military is saying it will be our center of attention. But there's still an awful lot of on-the-ground problems. Right, almost from the beginning, there has been a shortage of troops. And it's not as if the Taliban are a formidable fighting force. It's that we go in and we beat them, and then we're not there that night. And the villagers basically have to make a choice. Well, who's in charge here? And the people who tend to be there most of the time get their way. And that's the Taliban, in particular in the south and to a lesser extent in the east. So the approach that we took really wasn't working. And so there's been a thorough review that President Obama has initiated. But at the same time, there are doubts being raised from the right and the left, and there's a little bit of a Pac-Man effect on the president that people are wondering, well, what are we doing here? And this will very soon be President Obama's war, which is one reason that I think the surge of these troops has been done to a great extent to show that in the next year and a half, this summer and then through next summer, that we can really reverse the conditions on the ground and make the country safe, and that people will be able to travel on the new roads that we've helped to build, some of the other points of progress that now really don't have much value.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin, and I'm speaking with Rick Barton from the Center for Strategic and International Studies. And we're talking about the president's meeting with the presidents of Pakistan and Afghanistan in Washington and the current situation in all these countries. Talking more about Afghanistan, the timing of the meeting was very awkward in one sense, in that it coincided with reports of civilian deaths from American airstrikes in Afghanistan. And that's been an ongoing, I'm not even sure where to use irritant, sounds too small for what that is. And of course, as always the case, there are disputes about exactly what the extent of the casualties may have been. But the Red Cross does suggest that there were women and children killed in these airstrikes. And a team has been sent to investigate. Do you think that that had an effect on the meetings? And are these, this ongoing question of civilian casualties, is that something that's damaging the relationship between the U.S. and Afghanistan?
Well, it certainly is damaging. There's no way to make an argument that it could help in any way. It's also damaging to President Karzai, because he's supposed to be in charge of his country, and yet most of the United States is out there and doing things that are damaging to his people. And the U.S. forces and the allied forces are still probably more popular than not in Afghanistan. So there's still, the value is still being seen. There's a desire in Afghanistan to move ahead and to have a country that people can live in, rather than having to flee into Iran or Pakistan as they have over the last couple of decades. But these bombings do cause a regular concern, and they really are a direct result of what we were talking about before, that there just are not enough soldiers on the ground, and our intelligence is not that good either. And so you're going to make mistakes, because you just can't differentiate that well from the air.
The Secretary of State Hillary Clinton talked about the need to go beyond military intervention. I just want to play a short clip of what she had to say.
Success will not come from military means alone. That what we must do, and what both Secretary Gates and I emphasized in congressional testimony, is the importance of diplomacy and development aid. And we reiterated our support for Congress's efforts to triple non-military spending for these democratically elected governments. We believe you earned it and deserve to have that level of support.
What does that mean?
Well, it means that we haven't been seen by the people, in particular of Pakistan, being on their side. That so much of our assistance, really, in effect, when President Musharraf was in office, 90% of our assistance went to the Pakistani military. And then it went for the purchase of, in many cases, large weapons systems, which had nothing to do with fighting insurgents. So there's this huge divide between what we say we're doing, which is helping Pakistan, and the Pakistani people's very real problems. So, and even for the great assistance in Afghanistan, it hasn't been reaching the people either. Much of it's been stuck in Kabul. And one of the real challenges for us is that just on USAID contracts alone, over 400 people have been killed. Now, they're not Americans, but they're people who are on our payroll. We should be concerned about them.
But isn't that partly because of the military environment? Isn't it partly sure. That's what the insurgents do? They sabotage these efforts. They sabotage the infrastructure. They sabotage the schools. I mean, isn't that
absolutely.
Isn't it all kind of a cycle?
It is a cycle, but it's also, we have not figured out how to work in areas where people are getting killed. I happen to think there are ways. I mean, I'm hopeful about this, and that's why I do this work.
Well, that's actually going to be my question. What can the administration actually do differently to achieve these results?
There are about three or four things we could do. I mean, the first one is that we can look at successful programs that are reaching into literally thousands of communities in both Afghanistan and Pakistan. They're very different programs. But in Afghanistan, there's something called the National Solidarity Program. It's set up inside the government, and it's been driven by local decision-making and then external funding that helps people in towns who've decided they want to build a school, not that we want to build a school for them, but they want to build a school, and they're going about it, and they just need some help. That program, we had the minister who's in charge of that program here in Washington a couple of months ago, and he said that he felt they now had the capacity to spend $25 million a month, but they were not getting – there was no month that they were really getting more than $10 million a month. So there's a gap right there. There's an opportunity. It doesn't require Americans out in the field. This is being done by Afghan people who really understand their villages, and they've gotten all over the country, and it's well received. In Pakistan, you have a very rich civil society. Pakistan and Afghanistan are very different. Pakistan is much more modern. You fly into modern airports. You can travel on toll highways. And people have got to have a different picture in their minds when they think about this place. And they, in turn, have a lot of local organizations who, when we went around and met with them, visited their schools, their health programs, their internally displaced people programs, they said, yes, of course we could do a little more. We could do 10% more. We could do 15% more. That's a good opportunity. But then we also have to find direct assistance, ways of getting money directly to people the way we do in this country. We used to feed our poor people by having trucks, surplus trucks back up, and people would get extra butter and extra eggs and extra bread. And then we decided food stamps was a better way to go. And it was a much higher yielding program. It had much lower overheads, and it was more the choice of the individual. That was a wise decision. We're not doing that in these places. We need to do more scholarship programs. We need to do more home improvement loans. We have to do to initiate activities that go directly to people so that we're not losing so much in transaction costs with either contractors or the central government.
Given that you do this work and have a vision of how this work can actually be done more effectively, do you see any sign that the Obama administration, along with members of Congress, are able to recast these relationships in a more productive direction?
I feel there's a lot of pressure being put on people, on the day-to-day people inside of our bureaucracy, to come up with better ideas. And so there is a sense of, we've got to do it differently. Let's keep looking for ways to do it. So yes, that's underway.
Rick Barton is the co-director of the Post-Conflict Reconstruction Project at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. He was kind enough to join us in our Washington, D.C. studio. Thank you so much for coming in.
And my pleasure.